This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
BFM 89.9, 7:07, Monday, the 15th of August. And of course, you're listening to The Morning Run. I'm Wong Xiaoning together with Philip C. Now, at about 30 minutes, we'll be speaking to Catherine Birch. She's the senior economist at ANZ Bank on the Australian economy. But let's recap how global markets actually closed over on Friday.
Well, they ended very well. The question is it just a bear market rally? Because the US markets, the Dow was up 1.3%, S&P 500 up 1.7%, and the NASDAQ up 2.1%. Similar trend exhibited in Asia, but although mixed relatively. Nikkei was up 2.6%, Hang Seng up 0.5%, but the Shanghai Composite down 0.2%, Singapore's STI down 1%, but the FBM KLCA up marginally 0.04% above the water mark at 1,506.
So to tell us where global markets are heading, we have on the line with us Kingsley Jones, Chief Investment Officer at Jevons Global. Good morning, Kingsley. Like what Philip just said a minute ago, equity markets had a really good run last week, I think a little bit due to inflation fears that were tempered somewhat down in the US because it was a cooler than expected number. But is this a bear market rally?
Well, you know, it's been a spectacular rally off those June lows. So I think the official bear market's over, but I guess we can't really be sure there won't be another leg down to test this rally in the seasonally weaker months of September and October, which are really only 2 weeks away. Obviously, the core technology stocks like Apple and Microsoft have held up very well right through this bear market. And Apple in particular is, threatening to make new highs. And the semiconductors have been robust in spite of some warnings from Micron on excess inventories of memory chips. So the really big question for us is how well the profit margins hold up as the pressure from those rising producer prices is clearly fading, but wage rises are keeping firmer or running due to tight labor markets. So that's the main factor we're watching, whether to see the margin pressure starts to broaden, even as inflation for commodity inputs fades. So I think, you know, as far as recession goes, it's likely to be a shallow one, but we'll have to see how the market holds up through the September-October worry season on that margin question.
Yeah, but the picture somewhat looks very different in the bond market, right? Because there's still steep inversion of the US Treasury yield curves. So who do we believe, the fixed income traders or the equity traders?
Yeah, well, that's a really good question. Look, I think that action in the bond market is maybe reflecting the view there that conditions are going to remain pretty soft in the US broadly. But I guess what's holding the equity market up is a relief, shall we say, that we didn't see a severe decline in earnings in the reporting season just passed. So that's why I think we do have to be watchful about this September-October period to see if the bond market signals translate into, say, some weakness in employment or indeed, as I mentioned, if employment holds up, whether we see weaker margins in stocks generally. And that would be the sort of thing that would cause the equity market to trade down to sideways rather than continue this very bullish momentum that we see right now.
Well, margins could deteriorate if supply chain issues still persist, especially when you have geopolitical concerns like the Russian-Ukraine conflict and tensions in the Taiwan Strait, right?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, we are seeing, continued tensions clearly. I think oil is trading around the $97 mark. That's high by historical standards still, even though it's, somewhat down from that 120 or higher mark we saw immediately after the war started between Russia and Ukraine. But those supply chain weakness, supply chain conditions or concerns remain with us, as you saw over the weekend, with the U.S. Combating Inflation Act that passed, which has many measures within it to try to reshore manufacturing to the United States for things like electric vehicles and also to maintain security of supply chains for raw materials. But we have to acknowledge that it takes a long time to reconfigure supply chains. You know, it can take up to 10 years between discovery to production for a mine like a copper mine. And of course, it takes some time to build a new plant if you want to manufacture things like electric vehicles. And that's before you get into the whole issue of competitiveness with what the price of those finished products will be if we start making more of them in places like the United States. So I do think supply chain concerns is going to be sort of a, like a decadal concern right now because of those long lead times. And therefore, we do need to remain very focused on what's happening there.
Okay, and this week, Kingsley, we're going to have some interesting results coming out of US, which are more consumer-centric. We've got Walmart, Target, Home Depot. What kind of, what are your expectations when it comes to earning? Will this be a reflection of how healthy or how rich the American consumer feels?
Yeah, definitely. I think, you know, even though fuel prices have come off in the United States, for both for diesel and for gasoline, I do think the US consumer is starting to be a bit more selective. You know, obviously, you know, post-COVID lockdowns and all the rest of it, people are pretty relieved to get out and spend, but that's being tempered by these higher prices across the board, particularly in areas like travel. And therefore, I do think that Walmart will probably be the key result in a way because it doesn't have as big a problems as Target, but it, you know, it has many of the same exposures as Amazon. And you'll recall that when Amazon missed on their earnings, but guided that they thought their revenue, their sales would be pretty good in the September quarter, then, you know, that kicked off the whole market into a big rally. If we see Walmart, which of course has got an even bigger sales footprint than Amazon, if we see them come out with a pretty soggy result and perhaps warning on further inventory clearing measures they need to take, I think you might see this market take a bit of a pause then, and then we'll need to see the other retailer results to gauge consumer confidence and strength.
And let's bring us closer to home, because Malaysia's glove makers are taking a double whammy from high input costs and lower ASPs. Will they ever recover the favoured status enjoyed during the pandemic, or are they close to being a sunset industry then?
Well, I'm not sure they'll be a sunset industry, but equally it's going to be real tough for them to achieve the sort of demand strength that we saw in the early stages of the pandemic. And then, of course, as we know now, I mean, that led to significant capacity expansions and then a whole series of issues, not only with the Malaysian glove makers, but around the world. You know, Ansell, which is pretty diversified, has operations in Malaysia, but also elsewhere. You know, they've been doing it tough as well. So, look, I think, you know, I wouldn't say, you know, this is an area where it's a sunset industry. But I do think it's going to take a little bit of time to work through those post-pandemic issues and find where the new hotspots for demand are. They're probably not going to be in PPE for pandemics, but they might be in work gloves and other areas that probably will see demand come back as manufacturing restarts.
All right. Thank you for your time. That was Kingsley Jones, Chief Investment Officer at Jevons Global, giving us his view on where global markets are heading. I thought his comments on the health or the wealth of the US consumer are interesting and something we will be really watching out for this week. Because, yeah, I think there has been some, there was some revenge spending, but clearly people might be starting to hold back because even Walmart gave profit guidance earlier last month.
If you're seeing the cost side, the supply side starting to, you know, find its level and footing and stability, of course, you know, assuming that there's some stability on the geopolitical side, then of course it's all incumbent on how strong demand is or how resilient demand will be going forward.
Now, of course, this is all related to oil prices, right? Because fuel prices at the pump in US, although down, I think, over the last more than 50 days, oil prices remain very elevated, which explains why Saudi's Aramco posted the biggest quarterly adjusted profit of any listed company in the world, thanks to higher crude prices and production. Net income surged 90% year on year to only $48.4 billion in the second quarter, up from $25.5 billion, beating analyst estimates of $46.2 billion.
Aren't they the largest company by market cap around the world?
They are now, because thanks to oil prices, of course.
And as you said, right, healthy results. Its free cash flow rose 53% year-on-year to $34.6 billion. Aramco's half-year net income soared to $88 billion, easily outpacing ExxonMobil, Chevron and BP, which are all benefiting from a commodity price boom.
You know who is the happiest?
Who, Prince Salman?
Yes, and the Saudi government, right? Because they rely very heavily on Aramco's dividend to fund government expenditure. So the kingdom actually reported a $21 billion budget surplus in the second quarter.
And as a result, you see so much investment in Saudi Arabia. Have you seen the NEOM, that linear city? It's
yes.
incredible.
I know. This is paying for it, right?
It's paying for that for sure.
Yeah. So, but the street, you know, surprisingly, 13 holes, 2 sells, 2 buys only. Consensus target price for this stock is 14.60. This actually on Sunday it closed down 35 cents to 40.45. I think it's really just down to valuations. If you look at it on a year-to-date basis, only up 24%. I don't know whether Petronas, when they reveal the numbers, would be very similar.
Presumably it should be quite good. It's just that now we've seen a downward revision on all prices, right now under the $100 mark.
Yeah. Up next, though, we'll be speaking to Suhaimi Ilyas. He's the chief economist at Maybank Investment Bank on our GDP figures. Keep it here, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.